We're just going to have a Q&A with Eva. And just to start off, really, obviously the book's a lot about exile and return. I was wondering if you want to say a few things about kind of how that theme sort of came about and what drew you to that theme.
Well, I guess it was something that was always on my mind because I left Ireland when I was 17 and I lived in many different countries. So it's something as an immigrant that I always was thinking about, and then I returned suddenly to Ireland unexpectedly. So I guess exile and return, it's always just that theme through my life. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes, next question from the audience.
Adding to that, I think there's another, just from the reading that you just gave, there's, I get a real sense of this tension between diversity and the attempt to narrow diversity in various ways. And I'm beginning, just from what the comment that you just made, is there a connection in your mind between that kind of diversity and being, you know, an immigrant or having travelled a lot and having seen a lot of different cultures that gives you a very particular view on diversity and sort of narrow cultures? I mean, that's what I'm getting from what you just read.
Well, I think the whole idea of diversity, when you see the world as becoming very globalized or very generic, I would see links between the disappearance of species and, it's not only species that are disappearing, it's languages are disappearing and, everything has become more of the same. So I think there was something that I thought very poignant about the time we're living in now, which is a time of great, it's a great shift, but in a planetary way, an economic way, and it's, I think the book reflects that, I suppose, my anxiety about that, and it's kind of a world that I hope doesn't materialize for the world that we, it's set in the future, but in a future that looks just like today.
Next question.
Nobody else has one.
I would like you to say a little bit about the research you did on the buffalo and the Indians.
I think I was a bit like Leila, that I was living in New York and I moved to California, which was like moving to a different planet. what I noticed about, whereas in New York is, doesn't feel like the new world, it's kind of old and grimy and dirty, but I moved to California, and what struck me immediately I arrived there was that, people seem to start history often by 1848. It was this bizarre relationship to history, and I was very curious about what went on before, so as soon as I hit California, I started to read books about it, and there was an amazing book called The History of the West, with these extraordinary photos, and it was just a very interesting time, really, wasn't it? It was like two civilizations coming into contact with each other, and it was a time of great change and time that changed the face of the earth forever. When we look at California and LA, we forget that California had the highest population of Native Americans in the whole of the states, and they're gone. There's no reservation. The more I found out, the more I realized that there's a big college in San Francisco called Hastings Law School, and then I found out Hastings made his fortune because there was a bounty offered if you were paid to shoot Indians. And he went out and he shot, you were paid a certain amount for a woman, a man, and a child, and he made his fortune shooting, like it was really a genocide. And this was very, what struck me was, it was so recent. It wasn't really the distant past. It wasn't the past like you think in Ireland, but hundreds of years. This was just, this was just 100 years ago that this thing was happening. And there was Hastings Law School sitting proudly there. All of these things just struck me and began to do more and more research.
Right, question in the back.
Your money. We will pay for that.
Good.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's why I've been a very hard writer to market, and maybe my publisher now. This book is really different, and as soon as they find a niche for one, it was, and I think the three books are just completely different, and I just hope the fourth book will be different. It's all my personality to hear echoing around. But Breakfast in Babylon, Breakfast in Babylon wrote when I was 22 or 23, and I think as much as we deny it, as much as I told my mother it was fiction, in the end, your first novel is always very autobiographical, and it had all those autobiographical elements, so.
It was
about those kind of, it was set in London and Paris and the squat scene, and I guess it was just reflective of people just that kind of early years of people in their early 20s just floating around Europe and living an alternative life, and it wasn't it wasn't as emotional, I suppose, as this one, because this one I wrote, I had two babies during writing this one, so it does become a very personal or emotional, or, you shift in life, and I think my books reflect different shifts.
One of the best books ever written on sale. Could be signed. Okay, any other questions? I've had one more. We had Richard Millward here last month, and he's a young writer, but he's also an artist. And I suppose I put the same question to you that somebody put to him, which was about working different art forms, being a visual artist as well as a literary one, and how you kind of balance those and how they interrelate with each other.
Well, I think about that every day, although there is no balance, because I am a painter as well, but it's if you're looking for the balance even in your life and writing or painting, I just don't think there is such a thing as balance. Something always loses out and misses out, but at the same time, it's just completely different methods of exploration.
Do you ever, halfway through a chapter, just think, damn, I wanted to paint this, I shouldn't have tried to write this, or I should have made a film of this section, and that gets kind of get confused, and then you sort of labour to make it work in the form that you chose for?
No, you see, if I thought that hard about anything, I'd just be paralyzed. I think the best thing is just not to think too hard.
I don't know. I mean, rather than a question, I would say as a sometime observer that actually it's the narrative is still the same. We need to tell stories the same. But I mean, when Breakfast in Babylon was on Baby Zero, to me, I thought that Baby Zero was the work of a mother. In that, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't read it yet, but. The greatest thing to me was the redemption of probably what is one of the hardest characters, who is like your nightmare mother, who becomes, kind of redeems herself in the most incredible way. And I think the paintings, to me, reflected as well the need to tell stories. I think if you look at the paintings, the need to keep stories alive and to keep them in the world.
That's what I meant. She's thinking hard about it.
Any questions to Linda after I final question, Edla.
Okay, are you working on anything
right now? I'm working on I have a painting show in Dublin at the moment, and I've just that's as soon as that went up, I had the anxiety. As soon as it went up and I finished it, I sat there on that Monday after it was up and thought, okay, I better start another book. So I've started another book, which is very recently.
Are you talking
about
that?
No. Nothing at all. I think books are a bit like dreams, you start, if they're not ready, you start to talk about them, they just fall apart on you.
Okay, well, on that note, we'll end that. So thanks again to Ema. We'll be having... We're doing karaoke now. there'll be a short break now. We'll be round with the kid to relieve you of some money, and we'll see you after break when we will be